And I'm going to make a statement here this morning, and I'm not asking you to tell me all the ways in which this has happened, but you ever been in trouble before? If I was to ask you this morning, how many ways can you get in trouble, you'd probably come up with a whole lot of ways in which you have either gotten in trouble or could get into trouble if you'd want to. But I think ultimately these things that we would talk about fall into two general categories. And here are the categories. Either the trouble is brought on by ourselves, or the trouble is brought on by someone or something else. Doesn't that seem to fit now that you're going through all the times you've been in trouble? It's either you or it's someone or something else that brings us trouble. If it's brought on by me, it's probably my own sin, my own action or inaction, either to do something or sometimes by not doing something we get into trouble. So that is brought on by me. Or if it's brought on by someone or something else, it's how someone else's actions affect me. Or maybe I'm at the wrong time or the wrong place at the wrong time. That ever happened to you? Or maybe it's just an ailment, an injury, cancer, something that gets us into some kind of trouble in some way, brought on by someone or by something else. Now, how do we deal with these forms of trouble? And then I'm going to get into the text this morning because there's trouble in the text. You know the story. There's trouble in the text. How do I deal with these forms of trouble? Well, if it's my own sin, what should I do? Confess and repent, huh? Repent of the sin that I have committed. Repent of the wrong that I have done because I made my mess. I fell short of the glory of God, and I need to confess that and repent of my sin. If my action gets me into trouble, then my action may also get me out of trouble. Think about that for a moment. If my action gets me into trouble, my action may be able to get me out of trouble too. How I respond to that. Now, I can't do anything about someone else's actions, can I? Except how I respond to that other person's actions. I imagine some of you say you've been hurt in your life by others. Maybe some have been hurt many times by others. And you can't really do anything about what that other person has done to you. The only thing you can do is how you respond to how that person has done something to you. And it's amazing if we respond in a Christ-like way, how it can take something that was a wrong and actually end up making it right. Something that was trouble and actually make it a solution, a resolution to it in some way. Sometimes things just happen and I have to work through it. How do I work through it? I suggest to you that we work through it with God as our guide, with God as our example, with the Holy Spirit leading us as we go through that issue. Now, I want to go to Mary and Joseph because we read the story this morning about Mary and Joseph and the news of Mary's pregnancy. And we have Matthew's account, Luke's account, and some things are included in some and not in the other. Looking at Mary's pregnancy, it had to have been a shocker. She was a young woman. She was informed as to what was going to happen. Now, we don't really get a whole lot of Mary's side of things here in this Matthew text, but it says that this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child, the Holy Spirit. Now, they were innocent in this. Maybe they weren't innocent in life, but they were innocent in this in the sense that Joseph didn't have anything to do with Mary's pregnancy because he had not been with her, as the Bible says. And Mary was impregnated not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit of God. But if you're Joseph, I want you to think for a moment. trouble has come into my relationship with Mary. Just think about it. Mary's pregnant. And Joseph is like, yeah, right. I know I'm not the responsible party here, so what have you been doing? I mean, really, think about it. That would probably have been his initial response, because certainly his response was, oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that came after this. That didn't come before this. His response at that point was, there is trouble in our relationship. We are pledged to be married, and you got pregnant, and I ain't the guy. So what's going on? Trouble came in to that relationship. How did they respond? Because you see, Joseph is thinking, now that he hears this, what's going on, before the angel came and told him what was going on, he's thinking, perception in the community. If Mary is pregnant, and I'm not the father, and she starts to show a little bit, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? What am I going to say? So he thinks the best thing to do here is probably just a quiet divorce. Let's just get this thing over with, because it sounds to me that at least he still had the best interests of Mary in mind in all this too. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not Joseph, but I'm thinking I'm just going to quietly divorce her, because if this thing gets out, it could be bad news. It could be bad news. Joseph was probably having a little bit of an issue with trust here, wasn't he? Before the angel came, he's having a little bit of issue of trust. But these two forms of trouble that come, sometimes they're brought on by me, sometimes they're brought on by someone else. In this case, this was brought on by a holy one. This was brought on by God himself. The trouble that he was experiencing really wasn't going to be trouble at all. It was going to be a blessing. But he needed to hear it, and he heard it. The angel finally came into the picture. But before that happened, there was a perceived moral wrong going on here, when there really wasn't one. You know, have you ever been in that situation before? Well, you've been wrongly accused of something. You didn't do anything wrong, and you've been wrongly accused of something, and how you respond to that. There was a perceived moral wrong going on here, and there wasn't one. Mary was innocent in this whole thing. Joseph, too, was innocent, but didn't know, maybe initially, that Mary was innocent because she's pregnant. I don't know in the story here whether Mary explained this to him or not before the angel explained it to him. Could you imagine Mary saying, Joseph, I got to tell you something. I'm pregnant. You're not the dad. God is. The Holy Spirit. Right. Can you imagine that? Really? But she was told that, and she knew that, and Joseph didn't know that yet. But he was finally told that. This was a dilemma Joseph had until God intervened to the angel and said, in essence, hang in there, Joseph. Let me tell you the story. Here's what happened. Your wife is going to bear a child, and this child's name is going to be Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the one that the Jewish people, you Jewish people, have longed for way back, spoken of in the Old Testament. You longed for a Messiah, and she is going to bear the Messiah. The Messiah would be born to her. You are supposed to hang in there with her. You're supposed to support her. You're supposed to be a good dad. And it's going to be a little rough, because you're also going to have to travel to Bethlehem. More trouble, huh? A pregnant woman going all the way from where they were to Bethlehem, where she was going to give birth. Long travels. And then born in a stable. And then having to hide in Egypt after that. A lot of troubles came their way, didn't it? But God was there in the midst of all those troubles. And God had an ultimate purpose in all those troubles. And I believe that God has an ultimate purpose in all of the troubles that you and I experience if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him work. Even though the troubles sometimes have been brought on by us. Our own sin. Our own inaction. Sometimes the troubles are brought on by us. But God says, if you'll allow me, I can use your trouble to bring about something good. That's a Romans 8:28 thing there, isn't it? For all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He's basically saying, some bad things happen in our life, and sometimes they're brought on by ourselves, and sometimes they're brought on by someone else. But if you'll allow me to work in the midst of that stuff, I can bring something good out of it. Now, in this case, there was nothing bad about what was going on. It was just perceived as bad at the beginning until Joseph realized this was good. This was awesome. This is the greatest thing that ever happened. But it didn't look that way to start out with. Sometimes in our lives, what starts out as something bad, something that starts out a way we didn't want or envision, God can take that thing, that negative thing, and turn it into something really beautiful. He can do that if you and I will let Him do that. So God was working in troubling times. You're going to bear a child. All the travels, the stable, the hiding in Egypt. Was it worth it? Both Joseph and Mary would say, yes, it was worth it. And I hope you, in the struggles that you go through in your life, can eventually say, yes, it was worth it because God was there with me. Now, you see, I'm speaking here this morning not to those who do not know Jesus, because I don't think they can claim that like we can, that God works. That Romans 8:28 is for believers. That's what it's for. It's not for non-believers. It's for believers. And so I believe God can work in the midst of all of our struggles and bring about something good. Christmas can come in that troubled present that was going on. If our present is in trouble because of sin, then we ought to repent. If I'm in trouble because of circumstances, then I need to trust. If I'm in trouble because of my faith, then I need to rejoice that He is faithful. Even when I'm not. Troubled present always has a hope-filled future when given to Jesus. I want to say that again. A troubled present always has a hope-filled future when given to Jesus. Here's three verses I want to leave you with. The one I already shared, Romans 8:28. I don't need to repeat that one. Here's another one in 1 Peter 5:7 for you and for me. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Matthew 1:20. This one is for Joseph, but it works for us. Joseph, don't be afraid. It goes on to take Mary home as your wife. And God's telling you and me, don't be afraid to move ahead in your life because I've got it. Isn't that good to know? Because I don't always got it, but He's got it. And knowing that is assuring to me. So whatever your troubled present might be, learn from this story. And the troubled present that Joseph and Mary were going through, they discovered that troubled present that they were going through right then was a God plan for the rest of us. And God has plans for you and me that will bring glory and honor and praise to Him if we'll let it happen. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you for your love and your patience and your goodness. Thank you for using us as sin-stained as we are, as messed up as we sometimes are, as inattentive as sometimes we are. God, thank you that you want to use us to bring about good things. And even though we might be in times of trouble right now, either of our own doing, our own sin, our own action or inaction, or maybe we're in trouble right now because of something someone else or something else has happened to us, help us to trust you that you're going to bring something good out of it, even if we can't see it right now. God, I thank you and praise you that you work in us and through us while we are struggling, when we're in the mess, when we're even doing the stupid things that we do, you are there and you will never leave us and never forsake us. Help us to learn from you, to become more holy, to walk with you, to listen to you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.